If you asked, a room full of hiring managers what the most valuable degree for a brand new data scientist is, you would probably expect them to say computer science or maybe advanced mathematics.
Right. Yeah. Historically, that's exactly what they'd say.
Exactly. For the longest time, that was the reality. But today, the data actually tells a completely different story. Today, a background in commerce, business administration, or, I mean, even the arts might actually be the secret weapon that tech companies are desperately looking for.
It really is wild how much things have changed.
Yeah. Okay, let's unpack this, because I know that sounds completely backward to anyone who has been trying to break into the tech industry.
It does sound counterintuitive, especially given how, exclusive the tech industry has historically tried to appear. But we're looking at a massive paradigm shift in how companies hire and how educational institutions are actually training the next generation of talent.
And that is exactly what we are focusing on for today's deep dive. We've got a really fascinating newly published guide on our desks today. It's a comprehensive course guide from Brawley Academy.
Right. Published in August 2026.
Yeah, August 2026. And it's titled Data Science Courses, Eligibility Requirements, Academic Qualifications, and Skills.
Quite a mouthful.
It is. Yeah. But our mission today is to cut through the overwhelming noise and decode exactly what it takes to get into data science right now.
Yeah.
We're going to map out how someone from, well, virtually any background can navigate their entry into this field.
Right, without feeling that they need to go back in time and change their undergraduate major.
Exactly, because the reality is the traditional gates to this high-tech field are not just changing. I mean, in some places, they're being dismantled entirely.
Yeah, the Brawley Academy guide makes it very clear that the industry is adapting to this massive talent shortage. And to fix it, they have to rethink who is actually allowed to touch the data.
So let's start right at the beginning of the guide, which tackles the most intimidating part of data science, right? The application process itself.
Oh, yeah. That's where most people give up.
Right. Because the biggest misconception out there is that there is one rigid, universal requirement to enter the field. But the source material says there is, quote, no single eligibility rule for data science courses. None.
Which is a huge relief for a lot of people.
It is. But I have to admit, when I first read that, it sounded like total chaos to me. Like a university just throwing his hands up and saying, sure, whoever wants to come in, come on in.
Yeah, I completely understand why it reads that way. But what's fascinating here is that the lack of a universal rule isn't actually a sign of chaos. It's a highly structured modularity.
Yeah, a structured modularity.
Right. It's like a bouncer at a club, but a very specific kind of club.
Oh, yeah. Like trying to enter an exclusive club where the bouncer keeps changing the rules depending on which door you use.
Exactly. That is a perfect way to put it. You have the undergraduate door, the postgraduate door, the professional door, or think about it like a hospital hiring staff.
Okay, I like that. How so?
Well, when a hospital is hiring, there isn't just one medicine door that everyone walks through with the exact same test scores, right? They have different doors for different functions.
Right, right.
The neurosurgeon has a very specific, rigorous pathway. But the hospital administrator, who makes sure the hospital actually runs and stays funded, has a completely different educational background.
Oh, that makes sense.
And then the biomedical technician, who maintains the MRI machines, they have another entirely different background. Data science is becoming just as layered.
So it's less about passing one universal test and more about matching your current qualification to the specific role you want to play in that data ecosystem.
Exactly. The Brawley Academy guide emphasizes this deeply. Like, if you just graduated class 12, your pathway is looking at BSc or BTEC programs.
Right.
And institutions there might look for a general benchmark of, say, 50 to 60% marks, though that varies wildly depending on the school.
Okay, so that's the high school grad door.
Right. But if you already hold a bachelor's degree, you're looking at the MSc or MTech door. And if you are a working professional, say you've been in marketing for 5 years, you aren't going to go back and sit in a BTech classroom with 18-year-olds.
No, definitely not.
Right. You are walking through the door for specialized certificates or diplomas.
So you basically match your current qualification to the starting option, rather than just Googling best data science course and getting discouraged because the very first result requires a master's in computer science.
Exactly. You find your specific door.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But if I'm applying to be the hospital administrator equivalent in data science, like maybe I want to do business analytics, what about the math?
The math.
Yeah, the math elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Because the guide says some of these entry-level courses do not require class 12 math for admission. and I really have to push back on this.
No.
Well, if an institution lets a student into a data science program without high school math, isn't that incredibly predatory?
Predatory? How?
Well, it feels like they're saying, you know, come on in, your money's good here. But they're essentially setting that student up to fail when they hit the hard stuff. Like, you can't just wing machine learning algorithms. You need serious math.
This raises an important question. And honestly, it is a very valid concern. It does feel like a trap at first glance.
Right.
But the source makes a critical distinction that changes the context entirely here. There is a fundamental difference between course admission eligibility getting past the front gate and the actual skills required to learn and master the material once you're inside.
Wait, I'm stuck on this.
Yeah.
You're saying I don't need math before I start, but I need it to succeed. That sounds like a paradox.
It does sound like one, yeah.
Are institutions basically saying, hey, we'll teach you the math as you go, right when you need to use it, rather than making you memorize textbook formulas beforehand?
That is precisely what is happening. The guide explicitly states that mathematics is highly recommended, and frankly, it's necessary for understanding statistics, probability, linear algebra, and machine learning. You cannot avoid the math mountain.
Right. You have to climb it eventually.
Exactly. But how you climb it has completely changed.
So how do you climb it if you, say, dropped math when you were 16?
Through what the industry calls foundation or bridge courses.
Okay.
Historically, math was used as a gatekeeping tool. If you didn't pass calculus at 18, you were locked out of tech forever.
Yeah, that was definitely the vibe.
But today, a modern data science program will admit you based on your logical reasoning or your business acumen, and then immediately enroll you in a foundational math module that is specifically tailored for data science.
Ah, so it is contextual learning. I mean, I always hated math in high school because it felt completely abstract.
Right, just numbers on a chalkboard.
Exactly. I was memorizing formulas for a standardized test. But if I am learning linear algebra, specifically because it is the engine under the hood of a recommendation algorithm, like, if I want to know how Netflix suggests movies to me, suddenly I actually care about the math.
Exactly. When you understand why you need to calculate the probability of a customer canceling their subscription, the math ceases to be an abstract hurdle. It becomes a highly practical tool.
You learn it because you need to use it.
Yes, you learn it because you need to use it that afternoon to solve a puzzle.
Okay, so if the math barrier is actually solvable through bridge courses and this contextual learning, that completely changes the value of a traditional non-technical degree.
It really does.
Like, if I spent 3 or 4 years getting a Bachelor of Commerce or a Bachelor of Arts, I used to think I was permanently locked out of the tech boom. But does this mean my business background is actually an asset?
It is not just an asset. In many sectors, it is becoming the preferred background.
Wait, really?
Yes. Here is the realization that is causing massive shockwaves through the tech industry right now. It is significantly easier to teach a business expert how to code than it is to teach a master coder business intuition.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because I've seen this happen in corporate environments. You have these brilliant engineers who build, you know, mathematically flawless machine learning models, but the models end up being completely useless to the company.
Yes. And why are they useless? Because the engineer didn't understand the business problem.
Exactly.
Imagine an engineer building a predictive model for inventory management. The model perfectly predicts when stock will run out based on seasonal weather patterns, let's say.
Okay.
But the engineer didn't factor in supplier lead times or international shipping tariffs because they just don't understand global supply chains.
Oh, but a BCom or BBA student spots that flaw in 5 seconds.
Precisely. Because the business student intuitively understands how the company actually makes and loses money.
Right. And the Brawley Academy Guide says these commerce backgrounds are incredibly useful for things like business analytics, financial analytics, customer analytics, and marketing analytics.
Very high demand areas.
Huge demand.
Yeah.
So if I am a non-tech graduate, how do I actually bridge that gap? Because I still need to know how to talk to the computer, right?
You do. Mm-hmm. And the source outlines a very specific sequential pathway for non-technical pivots. It is essentially a ladder, and you cannot skip the rungs.
Okay. What's the first rung?
It starts with Excel.
Excel. Really? I feel like data scientists look down on Excel, like it's too basic.
They might, but it is the universal language of business data. It is your scratch pad. Once you master how data is organized in rows and columns in Excel, you move to the next rung, which is SQL.
Okay, explain SQL to me, because the guide lists it as absolutely essential. I hear the acronym all the time, but if I'm an arts graduate pivoting into tech, what actually is it?
Well, SQL stands for Structured Query Language. If Excel is a filing cabinet where you can see all your folders, SQL is the robotic assistant you ask to fetch specific files from a warehouse the size of a city.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. When data gets too massive, say, millions of rows of customer transactions Excel just crashes, SQL is the language you use to ask the database questions.
And the guide mentions specific SQL commands like select, join, and group by Y. But don't just list those for me. Let's ELI5 this. Explain it like I'm five. What is a join and why is it so important?
Sure. Think of a SQL join as the ultimate digital matchmaker.
Matchmaker, okay.
Imagine your company has one massive database tracking every time someone clicked a button on your website. Just billions of anonymous clicks.
Right.
Then you have a totally separate database containing your actual customers' names and email addresses. A SQL join is the mechanism that stitches those two separate worlds together. It finds the exact moment John Doe clicked Add to Cart.
Oh, I see. Without that matchmaking tool, your data is isolated and practically useless.
Exactly. And then you have Group P by Y.
Right. What does Group P by Y do?
Group by Y is your organizer. Once you've joined the data, you have a messy list of a million purchases. Group P by Y tells the database, hey, take all this chaos and bucket it. Show me total sales, but grouped by city.
Oh, so instantly you see London versus New York versus Tokyo.
Exactly. It summarizes the chaos.
So the ladder goes Excel to understand the rows, SQL to pull the massive data. Then the guide says statistics, which we kind of covered earlier, making sense of what you pulled. And then Python. Why Python?
Python is where you automate the heavy lifting. It's a programming language that is incredibly readable, almost like plain English. You use it to build the actual predictive algorithms.
And the guide specifically calls out Python concepts like variables, loops, pandas, and NumPy. Again, let's avoid the jargon trap here. What is pandas? It's not the animal, right?
No, definitely not the animal. Pandas is a specific toolkit built inside Python.
Okay.
Out of the box, Python is great at general programming, but it doesn't naturally understand how to manipulate a massive spreadsheet. Pandas is essentially Excel on steroids for Python.
Excel on steroids. Got it.
Yeah, it gives Python the ability to instantly read, clean, and manipulate millions of rows of data with just a few lines of code.
And what about loops?
A loop is just you telling the computer, hey, I need to apply a 10% discount to these 5 million customers. Don't make me type it 5 million times. Just loop this one instruction over every single row.
Oh, that saves so much time. Okay, so I've used SQL to get the data, Python, and pandas to manipulate it. The next rung on the ladder is data visualization tools like Power BI, Tableau, Matplotlib, or Seaborn. This feels like the translation layer to me.
That is exactly what it is. You can build the most brilliant Python script in the world, but if you slide a page of code across the desk to your CEO, they are going to politely ask you to leave their office.
Right. They want a dashboard. They want a chart that goes up and to the right, colored in green.
Exactly. Power BI and Tableau are tools that connect directly to your data and turn your complex analysis into interactive visual dashboards. And this is where that business intuition shines again.
No.
Well, a purely technical engineer might build a dashboard showing 50 different technical metrics that no one understands. But a BCom graduate builds a dashboard showing the three specific metrics the CEO actually needs to see to make a financial decision.
That brings up a great point from the source material, actually. Even if you have an engineering degree, you know, computer science, IT, mechanical, civil porny, the guide makes a point to say you don't get a free pass.
No, you certainly don't.
Just having a technical degree doesn't make you a data scientist.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, an engineering degree gives you a head start on the programming logic and the math. But the source emphasizes that practical inquisitive skills are still completely required.
Right.
The text highlights three specific questions a data scientist must constantly ask. What problem are you solving? Is the data reliable? And how can the result actually help a business?
And if an engineer cannot answer those three questions, their code is essentially a purely academic exercise.
Precisely. It's useless in the real world.
Okay, so getting into the course is possible via multiple doors. We know a non-traditional background is highly valued because it brings that vital business context. And we understand the technical ladder we have to climb.
Yep, the Excel to SQL to Python ladder.
Right, but now we have to face the ultimate reality check. Getting the education is great, but how do you actually get the job?
Mm.
The Brawley Guide is brutally honest here. It explicitly asks, can a data science certificate help you get a job?
And their answer is a flat, uncompromising no.
So what does this all mean for the learner? Because I see so many eager people fall into what I call certificate collecting.
Oh, yes. It's very common.
They think if they just get a certificate from this online platform and, another from that prestigious university extension, their resume will act like a magnet. Are you saying all of that paper is worthless?
It is not that the learning itself is worthless, but the piece of paper carries very little weight with a hiring manager today.
Yeah. A certificate merely demonstrates that you sat in a chair and watched a series of videos. It might prove you passed a multiple choice quiz, but it does not prove you can solve a messy, chaotic, real-world business problem.
Right.
Employers know this. They have been burned way too many times by hiring people who look great on paper, but freeze the second they're handed a real data set.
The source says the goal is not how many certificates can I collect,
Yep.
but can I solve real data problems and explain my solution? So if
Exactly.
the certificate doesn't get you the job, what does?
Your portfolio.
A portfolio.
Data science is deeply inherently application-oriented. Employers want to see your skill stack in action. The source stresses the absolute necessity of real-world projects, things like sales analysis, house price prediction, customer segmentation, or customer churn prediction.
Okay, let's use customer churn prediction as a concrete example here. Let's say I am the hiring manager for a massive telecommunications company. We sell monthly phone plans.
Okay, setting the scene.
Right. If you walk into an interview and hand me a piece of paper that says Advanced Data Science Certificate, I might politely smile and just put it in a pile on my desk.
But imagine you walk into that same interview, and instead of a certificate, you just open your laptop.
Okay.
You look at the manager and say, "I noticed telecom companies struggle with customer retention. So I found a public data set of 10,000 telecom customers. I used SQL to extract their usage data. I used Python and Pandas to clean the missing variables."
Wow, okay.
And then you say, "I built a machine learning model that predicts with 85% accuracy which users are going to cancel their subscriptions next month based on their data usage dropping in the third week of the billing cycle."
That is incredibly specific.
It is. And then the kicker, you say, "And here is a Tableau dashboard I built so your marketing team can instantly see which customers they need to target with a discount code today to stop them from leaving."
I am hiring you on the spot. I mean, I'm not even asking where you went to college. I'm just asking when you can start.
Precisely. Because you have just demonstrated that you can take raw data, apply the technical skill stack, and answer the most critical business question of all.
How do we stop losing money?
Exactly. How do we stop losing money? You have proven your worth before you even draw a salary. That is what an employer is buying. They are buying your ability to solve problems, not your ability to complete a curriculum.
So if you are a learner right now listening to this, and you are looking at all these course options online or at universities, how do you protect yourself from that certificate trap? How do you know a course is actually going to help you build that kind of portfolio?
You have to ruthlessly scrutinize the syllabus.
Ruthlessly.
Yes. I always challenge people to look past the slick marketing language and the brand name of the institution. Ask yourself, does this course actually teach foundational mechanisms?
Right.
Does it force you as a requirement for graduation to build a capstone project? Or does it just list three dozen different software tools to make the curriculum look impressive?
Right. I mean, if a course is just a 10-week tour of different software interfaces without teaching the underlying statistical logic of why you are pushing those buttons,
Right.
well, it's basically just an extended software tutorial. It's not data science.
Exactly. You want a program that makes you build things from scratch, break them, and then figure out how to fix them.
Man, we have covered a massive amount of ground here today. We started with the anxiety of this field being an impenetrable fortress, and I think we have thoroughly mapped out the pathways inside.
I think so too.
Because whether you are a listener prepping for a major career pivot, or maybe you're just wrapping up a BCom and wondering what your options are, or you are just inherently curious about how the tech world is evolving, the takeaway from this Brawley Academy guide is just incredibly empowering.
It really is. The fundamental message here is that your potential in the modern economy is no longer dictated by the academic stream you happened to choose when you were 17 years old.
Yeah, that is huge. Focus on the skills you're actually willing to develop. I mean, if you are willing to learn how a Python loop works, if you are willing to wrap your head around a SQL join, and if you are willing to embrace a bridge course to learn the math contextually, the doors are open.
You're wide open.
It just takes the focus work to walk through them.
Which brings up a rather profound implication for the future, I think.
Oh,
Well, we've spent this time dissecting how traditional academic streams, arts, commerce, science, are no longer strict boundaries for entering highly technical fields like data science.
Right. The boundaries aren't just blurring. I mean, in some corporate HR departments, they're disappearing entirely.
They are. And it leaves me pondering a much larger shift. If the tech industry, which is arguably the compass for the future of our economy, is already bypassing traditional degree constraints in favor of demonstrable modular skills, will the future of education eventually dissolve these traditional degree categories altogether?
Wow.
Are we moving toward a world where the idea of being strictly an art student or a science student is just a relic of the past, replaced entirely by purely skill-based modular learning portfolios?
That is wild to think about.
I mean, if you can prove you can do the math and write the code, does it really matter what title is printed on your diploma?
That is a fascinating thought to leave on. The educational categories we've relied on for a century might actually be obsolete soon. Definitely something to chew on. Until next time, keep diving deep.